Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 336, as this week we bring you the second hour of WWF In Your House St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Hello, you people, and happy Valentine's Day. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I am joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, the effing king of recovery, Jim Valley. Jim is resting up this weekend, and I believe he and his wife, Carrie, had some special Valentine's Day plans that I don't want to interrupt and interfere with. So joining us this week, one of our favorite guest hosts, our good friend Scott Pastner, filling in for Jim. Scott, are you ready to climb into the Wayback Machine, return to 1999, and witness the after effects of a really bad breakup?
I cannot wait, Pat.
Yes, and we have we do have a couple of interesting matches for you this week, and I think we found a good bonus match on top of that. Now, this is the part, as you know, where we let's go through the other stuff that I have to get through. Our rankings are up in the category of American Leisure Podcasts again. So thank you for that. I didn't know that we are. Leisure means we're competing with a whole lot of people who aren't wrestling podcasts, in addition to competing with wrestling podcasts, which is good. We shot back up the charts in Australia here. So thanks to Jim and Sean Radican for that, for making that happen. And of course, as you know, Scott, we have, it's not just Valentine's Day. It's Vengeance Day if you're on the WWE Network, because of the NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day, right?
Totally. Totally. And I'll tell you this, I know ratings were up in Canada thanks to Jim's return. I know we heard last week. So yes. Australia, Canada, I'm looking next week, New Zealand.
New Zealand, I would be thrilled with a good rating from New Zealand. And hopefully we have something that can back this up. Also, don't forget, Jim's shirts up at Pro Wrestling Tees, a few of Jim's shirts. We also have patreon.com/waybackplayback for all of you people who need more Wayback Playback, need it in advance, and need it ad-free. We can do that for you. Plus, the complete category of all 336 episodes, which I think is what you want, plus occasional bonus stuff like the stuff I still have to put up from last week. But trust me, you'll like it, what Jim and Sean and I did for last week for the bonus match. So check that out, patreon.com/waybackplayback, or you can just send money. We're fine either way, Scott.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So as discussed, this is the part where we do all the culture stuff. February 14th, 1999, a Sunday, Valentine's Day, and number one New York Times bestsellers, the book in the fiction category, Southern Cross by Patricia Cornwall, in third week at number one. A nonfiction, The Greatest Generation by Tom Brokaw, which was actually in its ninth week. That was a pretty big, significant book for that year, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I think you're right, Pat. I remember that being getting it at a Sam's Club.
There you go. That's the perfect way to experience that. I wish Jim were here, because the number one Billboard song on this week, Angel of Mine by Monica, in its first week at number one. Not really my bag, but I'm sure Jim played it.
I bet he played it. I don't have many memories of it, Pat.
No, I don't either. The top movie in the country, Message in a Bottle, starring Kevin Costner and Robin Wright. It's first week at number one. Those of you who are married or feel like, hey, that sounds like a great movie for Valentine's Day. No, it is sad AF. You do. No. Please do not. Please.
I'm taking a pass on that one.
I want to give a spoiler, but I'm not going to. But yeah, it's perhaps. Oh, geez, it's sad, very sad. Okay, think My Girl's sad. All right, except no little kids die, so that's good. All right, so the top news story. Now this is crazy, Scott. We had just gotten done with a presidential impeachment trial on February 12th, 1999. I know, crazy.
Deja vu, Pat.
Bill Clinton acquitted of perjury and the other charges, and was allowed to continue being president. And then proceeded to on the 14th, there was a deadline for Afghanistan to turn over this guy to the U.S. named Osama bin Laden, except he escaped Afghanistan on the 14th, and they didn't catch him. It was wild stuff. Maybe I should move on from here. So there was an NBA strike going on in 1988-1999, and as a result of the NBA strike, originally NBC planned to do a big WCW special for Valentine's Day, but the strike ended. So instead on February 14th, 1999, in the NBA, the Indiana Pacers and the LA Lakers went at it. The Pacers win 101-99 off of 26 points by Reggie Miller. Some guy from the Lakers named Kobe Bryant misses the has the chance to hit the winning three-pointer at the buzzer and misses. That's a big one. So victory for the Pacers as the NBA season gets off to a hot start. And, UFC. What else? What are we doing in UFC? UFC, everybody's getting ready for March 5th. The main event of UFC 19 is going to be Tito Ortiz taking on some guy named Guy Mezger. And Gary Goodrich in the heavyweight division is supposed to be taking on Andre Roberts. And some guy named Chuck Liddell is on the card. He's fighting Jeremy Horn.
Interesting. And I'll tell you this, it was almost the end of the Del Harris era for the Lakers in that on the comeback from the strike. But Pat, you did mention, I remember a lot of WCW fans being very excited, thinking that that time slot on NBC was going to go for even multiple specials if the NBA strike continued lockout.
Better luck next time. Yeah, I mean that definitely. I don't know. I mean that's good, but given the product that WCW was putting on at the time, I don't know how much it would have helped.
Pat, yeah? I think that if I remember correctly, I don't even know. It was right after It was right after Hogan got the belt back, and I remember being so turned off by the product. I don't even know what they would have given you at that point.
Well, they were getting Goldberg ready for, again. They were getting ready for Super Brawl, so. I'm guessing it would have been pretty much a big ad for Super Brawl, which was the Hogan and Flair for the title, and Bigelow versus Goldberg. And maybe we'll discuss some more WCW on next week's show. It's another commercial break, and I'd like to talk about our sponsor, Ken and Tech's Pet Care of Bangor, Maine, located at kenandtech.com, KenandTech.com. Be sure to check them out. Also, if you have not participated in the fundraiser for Jim Valley set up by Josh Nason of Wrestling Observer website and Figure Four Online, go to gofundme.com/f/Jim-Valley-fundraiser. As of today, $67,514 raised. Still more to go because Jim has been out of action for a long, long time. So whatever you can afford to give, go ahead and do that there. And also, yes, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. For as low as $4.50 a month, you can get all of our new episodes early and without commercials. And you can get bonus matches that we do, bonus episodes, extra stuff that we've pulled out from the past. There's various tiers that you can go to on that. But for $4.50 a month, you can get all of our past episodes. You can get every one of our new episodes in advance and commercial-free, and that's what you want. And that will cover all 331 episodes. It's a great deal, and no one else can give it to you, thanks to our friends at Pro Wrestling Torch for helping us out with this. It is, of course, patreon.com/waybackplayback, and I think once Jim gets back, our patron will only get better. I know we want to get to the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, back to that show, but it is bonus match time, and we dug up a doozy for you this week. Everybody, get into YouTube, type in the Brood versus the Hardy Boys. Trust me on this one. This is WWF Shotgun Saturday Night for February 13th, 1999, which is the night before this pay-per-view, and here's why you never saw this. One, it was on Shotgun Saturday Night. Two, they were already doing Raw Saturday Night on USA Network, so you're watching Raw Saturday Night. You're not thinking about staying up for Shotgun Saturday Night, which nobody watches anyway. But, so this is crazy. If you're there, I've got Sunday Night, Slam of the Week graphic up at 0:00:00 with a cartoon guy in sunglasses. Scott, are you there?
I am there, and I am intrigued, Pat. I do not remember this match, and I'm looking forward to going back 22 years.
Yes, and there's a lot going on here, so we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. This is the first match ever between Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys. And it's on Shotgun Saturday Night A. Not only is it on Shotgun Saturday Night, announcing for Shotgun Saturday Night are, for whatever reason, the team of Michael Cole and Vince Russo.
Wow.
Shotgun Saturday Night was taped when they did the Sky Dome episode. So there's legitimately 40,000 people in the crowd. This is
wow.
Yeah. And the Hardys are just these kids from North Carolina who, you know, they go out there and they put guys over. There's Matt and Jeff. Right. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, this is packed.
Look at that crowd, Pat, just like you said.
I mean, they taped the Raw Saturday night here. And here you go. Here's Edge and Christian coming out as the Brood. They get the cool Gangrel entrance, which probably the coolest entrance in wrestling at this time.
By far, Pat.
I mean, geez, if I'm a pro wrestler in this era, yeah, I want to do the elevating rise up from the under the stage in a ring of fire. Yes, absolutely. Pat,
it differentiated them so much from the rest of the things happening.
Okay, so I guess the reason Russo is there is this is the New York City feed for Shotgun Saturday Night, which was taped, you know, differently because New York City is more important than the rest of us idiots, I guess. Yeah. Right. Okay. Because I guess we couldn't have Jim Cornette doing commentary in New York City because, you know, somebody's head would explode.
I think every New Yorker at the time would have rather heard Cornette.
Of course. And Russo's calling Cole a bad announcer, so go figure. All right. There you go. So there's Gangrel's managing the Edge and Christian, so I guess the Hardys are supposed to be the good guys. Yep. Yeah, so there's more people watching this. There's more people at this show than are at the pay-per-view.
Just seeing this crowd, Pat, look at all the signage. This is...
I mean,
you
this
know,
is
the
a,
height
this
of
is a WrestleMania venue. It's a Sky Dome, yeah.
Totally. 40,000 at the Sky Dome.
There's Christian. Okay, here we go. Come on. Let's do this. There's Matt Hardy. There's Christian. Let's go. Was this Kyoto? I think Kyoto's your ref.
Ref. Okay. Tell you this, though, Pat. Seeing how young these guys look,
honestly, look, it looks like Matt Hardy's wearing like his Ring of Honor trunks. Oh. Well, that's 70. Okay. Oh, let's see. All right, here we go. The punches need work, but they're the Hardy Boys. Ooh, they're the Hardy Boys, but they don't look like kids anymore. They've got nice gear.
What, Pat, when did they start winning matches?
It's a while after this. I remember them. I remember that they were on Mick Foley did that Three Faces of Foley video, and the Hardys are there with him as like explaining. He's like telling it like he's telling a story to these young kids, and they're still not. You know, the Hardys still aren't winners then. Yeah, but when they... Michael Hayes gets them.
So Michael what's Hayes that, tries like to turn spring them into 99?
Yeah, Michael Hayes tries to turn them into the new Freebirds, but they of course, it's Vince, so he won't call them the new Freebirds. So they're the Hardy Boys with Michael Hayes.
That was what, like May 99, if I remember.
Right, yep.
But you could see, you know, 3 months earlier, you know, you could see already, first match together.
We want blood. There you go. Okay. All right. Oh. Okay, here we go. There's going to be Vince Russo announced there's going to be an unannounced visitor on Sunday Night Heat. Okay. I want to say that was Iron Sheik. Well, we'll find out. Okay. Oh, Cashman, shut your mouth. Wow.
No.
Yankees fans in 99, huh? Okay.
I don't want to think back to that Yankees late 90 dynasty, Pat.
Yeah, you can see Cornette at the announce table. So. Oh, well.
The We Want Blood crowd is ready, Pat. Well, I see, though.
They want the bloodbath for Gangrel
the brood.
And Christian. Yeah, from the Brood, yeah. Or maybe they just wanted actual blood. Who knows?
Maybe they just want a bloodbath. Exactly.
Pride? Okay. Jeff Hardy says pride, and Matt Hardy says honor. There you go. That RVD springboard moonsault. There we go. Boom. Oh, well. He missed the Swanton. I also remember, when did the... They had an MTV special, say, in, I forget when it was. They gave the Hardys and Edge and Christian a long match. Oh, I'm going to have to go back and look all this up. But yeah, this is, they obviously don't have the chemistry that they would have, but, you know, they're getting along.
Exactly, Pat. Consider first time in the ring together or first time on TV, there is something. There's a spark.
Yep.
And you can see it.
Yeah, and again, getting a lot of offense.
That's the thing, Pat. I do not remember. Look at all this. Just like you said, the offense they're getting, it's much more than I anticipated.
Here we go.
Because, again, when they came with Hayes, that's not till for a few months.
They're not doing the heart attack, but that's a pretty good move.
I like that move.
Yeah. There we go.
That's a nice finisher there.
Hey. And Edge and Christian are the hometown guys, so heels or no, they're going to get cheered.
The New York version. You're right.
All right. That's it. Wow.
That was enjoyable, Pat.
Yeah. I hadn't seen that. It just, you know. Okay. And yeah, there's plenty more weird stuff from Shotgun Saturday Night in that era, including a couple weeks after this, I found Triple H versus Buddy Landell. And this is like coming off of Buddy Landell working for Championship Pro Wrestling.
Oh,
like a
I
couple
need
weeks
to find
early,
that,
like,
Pat.
You know, like that era. You know, this is Fat Buddy Landell in there.
Oh, I need to find that. I think I might be a late night Shotgun Saturday Night Fest over here.
Oh yeah, there's some crazy stuff. There's an Edge versus Al Snow match for no reason, but yeah. Shotgun Saturday Night, you'd find some crazy stuff on there, Scott.
I look forward to tweeting you what my favorites are. That's awesome.
Okay. Good deal. All right. We'll stop it there. There we go. But right now, let's get back to where we were. We are at 54 minutes and 25 seconds following the Mick Foley interview. And I have a shot of a very enthusiastic crowd, I'm going to say.
Looks like it down there at the pyramid.
That's the pyramid in Memphis. Okay. So Scott's there. I'm there. We are all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right. Yay. All right. So happy Valentine's Day, everybody. You think it's sad that there's people watching wrestling, a big wrestling show on Valentine's Day. Ponder that a little bit tonight. You know, if you're watching a big Valentine's show, big wrestling show on Valentine's Day.
I can remember, Pat, where I was. I heard you and Sean's memories last week, and Jim's.
Yeah.
Mine was Valentine's night. I had just started working at the local Chili's Bar and Grill, and someone paid me at the time, I think, $50 to work their shift so they could spend their Valentine's, and it was good for me.
Okay, so this is the story of how Val Venus went after Ken Shamrock's sister, Ryan Shamrock. Oh my goodness, it was awkward, I guess. I mean, probably not as awkward as the fact that Ken Shamrock and Ryan Shamrock really weren't brother and sister, and that they ended up dating in real life, but awkward nonetheless. Oh, Ryan. This poor innocent sister of Ken Shamrock. Yep. Okay. Oh, dear. Yeah, so Ken Shamrock promised not to hurt Val Venus because, you know, promised his sister he wouldn't hurt Val Venus, I guess, before the match. And I think Ken Shamrock lied.
I can tell you this, Pat. I do not remember this being this feud at all. But I remember, again, we've talked before about Shamrock's IC reign. He had won that belt in October at Nassau. And, you know, the caliber of competition. Val Venus making his move.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he's been on a pretty good roll here going into Valentine's Day. Oh, let's meet the special guest referee. I almost forgot the special guest referee. Billy Gunn. Who I believe has been sort of in this whole Intercontinental title feud.
It was a very interesting time, if I remember correctly, for the IC title here. Because wasn't Road Dogg also in the mix? Or yes, was that later in the year?
No, he was. I think he was in the mix, too. Okay. All right, so senior referee, because Shamrock was nuts, the referees don't want any part of this, of dealing with a Shamrock match, so they send out Billy Gunn. Because
why not, Pat?
Vince Russo is booking, and he is helping book, and he seems to like angles where the referees quit, or... Yep. Oh, we're going to get that. Okay. There we go. All right, so but you have Billy Gunn on the show on an important spot without him wrestling. Val Venus, I mean, this character was starting to get a little old, but once they turned Val Venus into serious wrestler Val Venus, that didn't work perhaps as well as they wanted.
Nah, not really. Not quite.
Yeah.
Because now, Pat, he came in, what, right after WrestleMania the year before, so he's been in about 10 months.
Right. Yeah, big star in Mexico. Big gringo down there. And I mean, the question is, you know, how talented was he? Was he underrated? Which, you know, I mean, I had always felt he was underrated as a wrestler, but I think that had to do a lot with the gimmick. The gimmick sort of took over.
Couldn't agree more, Patty. He was always, I thought he had talent in the ring, but the gimmick was such an oversized character that the gimmick totally was the piece, not the matches.
So when he became, you know, bad guy Val Venus and then Chief Morley, I guess. Yeah, that didn't really, I don't know that it worked that well. All right, let's see. And, of course, Ryan Shamrock, better known as, Alicia Webb is her name. She is a whopping 19 years old at the time. She would then go to WCW not too long after this and become Symphony, the valet for the maestro. And I think that lasted, about 12 seconds?
I don't remember at all, but I know I've heard a good interview with you and the Stro with you before, Pat.
Yeah. Well, Stro's a good guy. Yeah. All right, let's see. Okay. Oh, yes. Good grief. Val Venus revealed that she had starred with him in the... in his movie Saving Ryan's Privates. Oh, good grief. Okay. And Billy Gunn tries to console Ryan backstage after only to be attacked by Ken Shamrock. And oh, good grief. Okay. And then Ryan gets kissed by Gold. Okay. Oh, that's all after this. Never mind.
Right. It's good to see Howard Finkel, rest his soul. What a great man.
Yes. Yes, I
and
agree.
And again, no one ever to me will ever be a new championship call like the Fink.
That's true. Okay, so they actually had the patience to introduce Ryan Shamrock for like a whole 2 weeks before she became involved in an angle. That's quite impressive.
Pat, at 19, I didn't realize she was that young. Where did they find her? Local entertainment club?
She's from Houston, so Yeah, but who would let her in a local entertainment club at 19? I mean, it's either that or she's lying about her age in Wikipedia, which, you know, it's not like Wikipedia is great about that sort of thing, unfortunately. Yeah, she's okay. Well, oh, yeah, here we go. So Ryan Shamrock, Alicia Webb later claimed she was released because she refused to sign a 5-year deal with the company. Other accusations were that Joni Lahr hated her, which might be the case. Oh, and that she and Ken Shamrock turned down an incest angle. Okay, well,
Vince Russo. Who knows?
So who knows? All right. Let's see. Okay, then she went to TNA as Alicia, which that's very creative. It's her name. So.
And is that when she and Sean Waltman had their involvement?
I expect so. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. All right. So she's married to some guy. Okay. She has a son who is 17 years old by now. Okay. It does. There's not a lot to her history in Wikipedia. But she's retired from the valet business, last I heard. Okay. I have no idea how they found her. That's an incredibly that's a great question, actually. They just find, yeah. So I don't know how they picked out random 19-year-old girl from Houston. Okay. Geez. The 1999 seemed to be the year that they found ways to transition certain people from nice girl to, party girl. In terms of outfits and all that.
I would, yes. The party girl image took over at this point.
Yeah. Okay, so how did this, yeah. This is great. Yeah, this is quite the story.
Shamrock still, I've said before with you, Pat, I always enjoyed Shamrock's work. Always felt, you know, we watched a match with him and Austin on a previous episode together that was building to him versus Austin on Raw.
Yeah, him and Vader, that's right, yeah. Yeah.
I thought, though, Pat, I still said it then, I say it again. At the time, I thought Shamrock, especially when he was being in the corporation, that he could have had a legit title feud with Austin. But, I really believed he could, especially when you play back to when he first came in 97 as the referee in the Bret Austin match. That could have maybe been used, too. But I definitely thought at some point he would have got a legit run with Austin.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, I mean, you would think so, especially because they were so short on. Especially because they were really looking for somebody new for Austin to face. Undertaker was he feuded with Undertaker for such a long time for one thing, and they wrapped that up at the end of '98, and he basically turned down feuding with Jeff Jarrett and Billy Gunn because he didn't think they were over enough. So yeah, that's a good question why they didn't do that. I think maybe Vince said, you know what, we're gonna go with Austin and Rock. Let's put Shamrock on some sort of on a different track here with the Intercontinental title, and then he'll be ready going forward, or something like that.
Which totally makes sense, except, again, they muddled down the Intercontinental contenders at the time.
They didn't pay it off, yeah, because they wanted, well, you know, it's part of trying to make everybody happy. They break up Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, and they want to make them, you know, singles wrestlers, and, you know.
Yeah, because it's not long from here when Billy Gunn wins King of the Ring. Didn't he win it in June?
1999, yes.
You're looking at... And I remember that I never was sold. I know, you know, I was never a Billy Gunn guy, but, you know, when they gave him that push, they gave him that match with Rock after he won, but he just, it wasn't, didn't work.
Not in the cards, no. They tried to, I mean, they really tried to push Billy Gunn down people's throats. People weren't buying him people just wouldn't buy him as a heel. Then we got the one Billy Gunn. I don't know. Okay. All right, so here we go. Oh, yeah, this match is still going on. There's Venus. Venus is getting a lot of offense.
Definitely a good showing by Venus. He's definitely right. getting some action in.
Okay, so alright. I'm stumped right now. I'm gonna have to look this up, but I met her, I wanna say 2013. Yeah, I think I did when they were doing that at WrestleCade, yeah. Seemed very nice. Okay, there we go.
Val, again, Val holding his own.
Right. I mean, he had size, he had ability. And I think also part of what happened is he, you know, once you sort of get out of the business of working serious matches for a while, it's kind of hard to get back in. Because the work rate became more, he had done this gimmick, and then work rate became more important to WWF, especially as Triple or WWE is, especially as Triple H got more powerful, and
No, totally, Pat. Because when you think about all that happened a year later, once the Radicals get there and again the match quality, the improvement of in ring action.
Right.
But he had the ability. But again, it's like that actor who's so typecast.
Yeah.
I know Val Venus is doing a lot in the medical marijuana or some type of marijuana.
Yes, business. That seems to be his niche nowadays.
Yeah, he was down in Atlantic City, New Jersey, at some point with some seminar. Mm-hmm. I remember a couple years back.
I would agree. Okay, hold on. Let's see. 98. No, that's not it. I'm still not able to figure out exactly how that happened. So somebody's gonna drop us a line here at Real Pat McNeil or even at Scott Pastner or at Jim Valley and fill us in. There's got to be. I mean, you'd think with the 8 million podcasts out there with former WWF people, somebody would know the story.
I would think definitely.
But then again, it's kind of my fault for not looking it up beforehand. All right, now we're in the camel clutch and I mean Venus is basically being I don't know. I thought he's supposed to be the baby face. It's kind of hard to tell.
The roles are not very clear. They're
very well defined here.
Exactly, Pat. All right.
Shades of Grey, yes. But Shades of Grey kind of means you have fans.
See, I remember going into this show, though, at the time, feeling it was like a two-match show.
Because it was.
And I remember having a little anticipation for the tag team match we will watch later.
Right.
But, it was two matches. There was a lot of excitement for those two matches, as you guys said last week. Yeah. To put this show together right before WrestleMania, they did a lot. That coming off that 99 Royal Rumble with Vince's victory, to be able to sell Austin versus Vince, it was big.
I didn't like the way the 99 Rumble ended, but it got, it gets you to this point where you finally have Vince and Austin in a cage. That's the setup for WrestleMania. Yeah.
Totally. And I did think, Pat, I remember at the time believing that this is it. This is the final blow off. That just shows how much I knew.
Well, it kind of was supposed to be the final blow off. I mean, they went back to it. And it didn't take that much long. And then, they kept trying to get away from Austin and McMahon, and then they kept getting back to it because they didn't really have, you need to have Vince on television when he's Vince. And, if he's not feuding with Austin, what do you have him doing?
Exactly. Yeah. There was nothing else at that level. There was nothing at Vince's level.
I mean, Vince as a babyface sort of worked in short doses. I mean, I understand you have somebody who's as over as Vince is, and who, by the way, runs the company. You want to find stuff for him to do on television. Yeah, I get that. Yep, there we go. Okay.
So again, Val Venus holding his own.
Okay, so Cole is pushing the storyline that Billy Gunn's not really doing an ace job as referee here. He's sort of, you know, he's not paying attention. He's slow getting down for the count. Yeah. Not really doing anybody any favors.
No, it doesn't look like he's helping either, just like you said. Not like Danny Davis in 87, I'll say that.
No. All right, and they're plugging ticket sales for, I want to say, I don't think they call it Insurrection. You know, I think they're calling it No Mercy, the upcoming UK pay-per-view.
And that UK pay-per-view proceeded, because WrestleMania, if I remember, was decently early in that year. Maybe.
Yeah, that was after. March. The pay-per-view was after WrestleMania.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. All right. Nicely done. I mean, you know, Shamrock is, I mean, he was a wrestler first, you know, a pro wrestler first, and, he's refusing to make the three count for Ken Shamrock, Billy Gunn is. Billy, what you doing? Come on, Billy. Come on, Billy.
He's going to freak.
Oh, no, and Val Venus has a sleeper on him. Okay, that's not going to work either. Okay. Yep. Nope. There we go. All right, so who's it going to be here? Okay. No.
Boom.
And where we yeah, and we and the UK pay-per-view in May of 99 was headlined by Austin versus Triple H versus Undertaker, so things aren't going to change that much.
Not at all.
All right. Oh, here we go. Fisherman suplex. Now, I mean, yeah, Val Venus should be upset by now. Shamrock should be upset by now. Yeah,
it's continuing this feud. I don't remember this where this went, but again, it's just prolonging us, getting us to Mania.
Right. I don't know if they felt. Yeah.
Did they have was it a three? Do I remember? Wasn't it like a three way or
WrestleMania 15? Let me look here.
I feel like Road Dogg was in the match.
It would have made sense. Yeah, because the Outlaws weren't part of the tag team title thing going on at WrestleMania 15, because that was just a disaster. All right, here we go. All right, so he's... yeah, all right. Oh, Brian's here like, oh, that Billy. Excuse me, oh, that Val Venus. Yeah, okay. And I think it was not, and I think after this, at some point, we had Edge marry Val Venus's sister for real, which, you know, had to be confusing.
I would say so.
Oh, well. I mean, yeah, no matter what wacky Springer-like storylines were coming out, sooner or later, something, you know, something even sillier is going to happen in real life, which you have to worry about. Oh, there we go. Belly to belly. That should be it. Come on, Shamrock. Let's go.
Let's finish it off.
Let's please, let's end this.
I definitely don't remember this going so long, Pat.
No, I don't either. He's got him. Okay, that's it. Val's going to tap. Wait, or not. Val, yes, trying to get. There, oh, look. Ryan Shamrock makes the save. Oh dear.
Uh-oh, where are we going with this?
Okay. Oh yes. Okay, so the Four Corners match for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania was Shamrock, Val Venus, Road Dogg, and Goldust. All right, so
Goldust coming off that big win over Blue Dust, the Blue Meanie last week.
Oh no, Billy Gunn hits Ken Shamrock. Okay. All right, and the fast count, and Val Venus is your Intercontinental Champion. Yay. Okay.
Oh, there goes really that.
The Intercontinental title really didn't matter all that much at this time because I guess. Yep. All right. Here we go. So Val Venus, your winner, and Billy Gunn's feuding with Ken Shamrock.
The Billy Gunn Ken Shamrock feud is not very memorable in my mind.
No, it really isn't. That's a good point. Plus, I don't think, yeah.
They didn't give it much.
Yep. All right. Oh, and I was going to beat up Val Venus, too, because, well, who knows why. Okay. Wow. All right. Sounds like fun.
So you're leaving with Billy Gunn grabbing all the heat as you walk out of there. Yep. Crowds behind him down there in Memphis.
Well, yeah. Well, he's a member of DX, so. And Ryan Shamrock's like, well, Ryan Shamrock can't stop giggling, which is that's definitely what you want from one of your performers. All right.
19, Pat.
Yep, that's true. I have no, yeah, again, no idea.
Where they found her.
Yep. Somebody found her.
One of the boys found her and got her work.
That's true. Maybe she just lied about her age. I don't know. I'm sure there's a good story there that we're missing.
Definitely.
Okay, meanwhile, back at let's watch this again, because this apparently is the actual plot point. Okay, so Ryan slaps her own brother.
Boom.
And then Billy Gunn beats up Val Venus. Okay, so Billy Gunn's going after Val Venus in the title. Oh, wait, no, Ken Shamrock's going after Billy Gunn. I'm sure it'll all make sense. Yep. Okay.
This all right, could, so, looking back, that has to be one of the higher points of Val Venus's run.
Yeah.
That's his first IC title victory.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this a Mr. Sacco ad?
Can never go wrong with Sacco.
I remember from this era going to an indie show, and Tom Brandy is sitting there with socks, and he's coloring his own Mr. Sacco's and selling them at the gimmick tables.
Yeah. Pat, speaking before, as we move on, though, Shamrock, did you get the chance to see him back in the ACW, NAWA, SAPW, whatever,
I saw him in South Atlantic. Yeah, he was good. I had no idea that, you know, and then he was gone. I had no idea he became Kent Shamrock until later. So, all right, now it's time for the big breakup here. DX breaks up. Right. And let's see. Here we go. Triple H and Rock. An I Quit match. Oh no. Okay, so Triple H has to say I quit so China doesn't get beaten up. And yes, China turns evil and joins the corporation. Oh my goodness.
This one caught another.
Okay. Yep. So China is a member of the corporation, Scott.
This one caught me off guard too, Pat. I do not remember thinking she was going to turn, that she'd be the one. I understood the end was near for DX, but that was not my anticipation.
Well, Vince Russo is involved, and women are evil, and, you know, I guess they weren't, I guess the idea of China as the baby face hadn't really hit yet.
True.
It's that Benedict Arnold China. I don't know. And Triple H makes this, and Triple H wins the cage match of some sort. Yeah. Okay. There we go. And so Kane and China become a tag team. Why China? Why? Okay.
She was a heartbreaker, it looks like, based on the signs, Pat.
Yep. I know. People were upset. Well, she turned evil, but she didn't start wearing clothes or anything, you know? Oh, no. Oh, and her new protective boyfriend is Kane, I guess. So here we go. All right, it's Sean Waltman and Triple H against Kane and China. Wow. They're really trying to come up with stuff for DX, because DX is out of the main, you know, is out of the main storyline, which is Austin against the corporation. So DX is like the second tier, you know, guys fighting the corporation, I suppose. Time for a mixed tag. On the bright side, Scott, I guess this is where they got the version of the DX video without China in it. So
this is true, Pat. Pat, how much must Triple H have been fuming at this point, though, being outside of the main angle?
He probably wasn't thrilled, but you know, I guess he sort of had to be patient here.
Things were coming his way. Hey, listen, things were looking up for him by the end of 99, but right here.
Right. Yeah. Well, he can't be the, you know. Yeah. He's like the number three baby face, because you have really Austin, and then Mick Foley, and then, yeah. And then Triple H.
Totally.
So they didn't have as much stroke, I guess.
Still crazy to me to think, though, Pat, when you look back with how hot Austin was, when they do the Super Bowl match with, you know, the belts on Foley, with Foley and Rock, it's still crazy to think that that was done, because Austin could have been involved in more, you know, involved in the match.
Yeah, but I understand they wanted to keep Rock and Austin away from each other until WrestleMania. Which
makes sense.
So also Rock needs a feud with somebody, and it's Foley, and Foley gets over more than they expected, to the point where they actually put the belt on him.
Totally. Cause Pat, I remember just that rise, that, you know, remember that fall, and you're totally right. He definitely, Foley got over much more than I anticipated even at that time.
Oh my! I think he's upset with China. It looks like they're both upset with China, but I think Sean Waltman got over it. Yeah.
Just looking at a young Triple H, pre-Stephanie,
pre-massive forehead. Yeah.
Totally.
I hope he never loses that beautiful head of hair. All right. Here we go. All right. And here comes the evil corporation. I forget how they got Kane to join the corporation.
I do too. And you know, it's making me think back more to his run in like 2013, when he was aligned with Stephanie, and that run.
All right.
You know, I don't remember this very clearly, him being
They switched. Yeah, they switched things up a lot in this run, but a lot of it doesn't stick, because, you know, you remember that era. You remember sort of the, you remember sort of the storyline with Austin and McMahon, and you remember Foley and The Rock, and, you know, the other stuff, not so much.
Oh, Pat, exactly. You know, that time, which again was at the time I remember being feeling how hot WWF was at the time. But that's my memories of this time period, you know, because even like you say, you know, when you go into WrestleMania season and the way they utilized Foley, and, you know, I know how excited I was for this, for, you know, for Paul White to be coming in. And, you know, there, it seemed like a time was on the rise, but I don't have much memories beyond those two angles.
The other thing is the story came out that Shawn, you know, that Shawn Michaels still had, even though he wasn't wrestling, still had a lot of stroke within the company, and that he and Triple H were the guys who were pushing for Austin versus Mick Foley as the WrestleMania 15 main event, when that made no sense. And, you know, you get the feeling that it was because they, you know, is because Triple H saw The Rock as his competition and wanted to push him down as far as possible. Didn't work, but, you know. Okay, here we go. Hey. All right, it's time. I think also the part of China fighting men as, you know, as a wrestler perhaps didn't work as well as one thought.
Right. Not at all. I could.
Yeah, I mean, and Russo is turning this in like this ECW thing where this is the evil woman who needs to be pile driven and all that.
Oh, Vince Russo.
I know. I'm not saying that Vince Russo hates women, but he books them like he does.
That's how he books them. Yeah. As the educator in me says, his actions speak loud.
Oh, and look who's joining us at commentary. That's Shane McMahon.
Oh, look at a young Shane-O.
He's young. Okay. All right, here we go. All right. We're underway. Yeah, so
these two would not, you know, when they're starting out, you know, would always think that Waltman would start the match.
You would think, yeah. Also, I have no, again, you know, going back to the WCW thing about, you know, about making sure that you have different color tights. Why on earth do you have Hunter out there wearing red when he knows he's fighting Kane?
No thinking there. Exactly, Pat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't remember this. You know, I don't remember this Triple H gear either that well.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, this does set up towards Triple H versus Kane at WrestleMania 15. Yes.
Which Triple H goes heel, correct?
Spoiler, yes, he does.
Sorry. That's 22 okay. Years yeah, later, but yeah, spoiler, remember. But, Pat, that was something I remember, too. That's why I remember being surprised with this booking, because Triple H goes heel, joins the corporation, and I felt that was not where I thought that was headed.
Well, and it pretty much meant that Kane had to turn babyface. So, yeah.
Exactly.
tag me. All right, whatever. So, yeah. So China wants no part of Triple H, but wants to beat up X-Pac.
Now, I did hear recently that Waltman had surgery and thinks he could be back in the ring for some matches.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know who... I guess he could do indie shows once things get rolling again.
Once things get rolling again, I think people would love to get to see him out there.
Yeah, Shane McMahon as announcer was not one of the great experiments that, yeah. Well, I mean, they tried it, but yeah, he was an annoying heel announcer, and that was about it.
What was it? Wasn't he on Sunday Night Heat?
Yes, he was a heel announcer for Sunday Night Heat.
Until he went became the ref.
Right. Oop. Okay, here we go. 2-on-1. Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, this is one of those times. I mean, Triple H is not the focus of the company. You got, and nor should he be at this point, where you have, you know, Mick Foley hot and The Rock hot and Steve Austin hot.
Pat, I mean, we're saying it's true. If you think, because what, he's in the main event at SummerSlam. He wins the belt, what, the night after SummerSlam? Yes, 99. So what's that, 99. 6 months later, August of 99. Yeah. And where he is on the card right now, you know, that wasn't a given.
That wasn't a given, but I mean, he's in something important because he's there and Kane's there, and you know, neither of those guys are going anywhere. I mean, he's considered important. He's on a certain level.
He's on that track.
Plus, I mean, he was in the right place in that summer because you have Austin injured, you have Foley working hurt. So yeah, I can see that.
And it makes total sense, though, going back to him and Michaels pushing for Foley at WrestleMania to get to push Rock to the side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, there we go. And then they were also part of the reason that Foley got that title win at SummerSlam. Because, yeah.
Because Austin didn't want to get.
Austin wasn't willing to put over Triple H, probably because he felt that there was more that could be done with that, which it turned out they did more with that. And so just giving away Hunter beating Austin there clean at that SummerSlam didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Understood. And we'll say this, that, you know, Foley, you know, that continuing that feud, that Foley Triple H, that next winter of 2000 was just tremendous.
That was very smart.
I was a very fortunate to say, living in the Northeast at the time, you know, they had that 2000 match was at the Rumble, and then that 2000, the next pay-per-view was in Hartford, so I was able to be at both. Yes. And those were two fantastic matches.
By the way, you people didn't vote for No Way Out 2000. I'm just saying we put it out there.
I gotta get more of the crew to vote, Pat, because that would be great. But Pat, when you look right here though,
right?
You know, you see, there is some chemistry already. The Xbox King chemistry. There is chemistry there.
Yeah.
Okay. I will say I don't see Xbox and Glenn Jacobs on the road.
No, I don't see them as travel buddies either. But I'm not sure that Daniel Bryan and Glenn Jacobs were travel buddies necessarily, but they worked well together.
Exactly.
Different dynamic, but it was fun for what it was. Yeah.
Hey, listen, Jacobs knows how to, you know, it's
look, some interesting stuff. Look how much stuff Kane was able to, you know, it's 23 years after he became, yeah. Jesus,
and what, he was just at the Rumble, Pat. He's just at the Rumble. Really, he's still out there.
Since he became Kane, and he was working there for like 2 years before that.
Incredible. His run, again, the thing, when the Kane angle first came, if you would have told me that character would have lasted 20, this many years, because again, 97, wow.
It just doesn't seem like a character that would have had 20, 25 years worth of staying power.
Pat, I remember at the time thinking, would it be lucky he keeps 6 months at, you know?
Well, because people were used to Undertaker facing the monster and then the monster having to go away usually because the monster couldn't wrestle. But X-Pac gets a shot in at Shane McMahon, and that gets paid off later. Yeah.
That does.
Yes, it does. And so people are, you know, it's only one 2-hour show right now a week, and then Heat. But you know, people are thinking. I mean, you could still write this stuff with, like, you know, Vince overseeing and a couple of writers. You You're not trying to put together. Good grief! Hold on, I'm gonna. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're not trying to put together nine. Geez. I mean, you're not trying to put together 9 hours a week of first run stuff. And that's what they're doing.
Exactly. Thinking about that, when you see the growth, you're right. 2 hours and heat.
And you could still do 9 hours of first run stuff, but you can't have one, you can't have one guy being the bottleneck for all of it that has to sign off on everything.
Exactly.
Because that's a killer. I think technically, 205 Live and NXT UK and maybe Main Event don't need Vince's approval, but everything else does.
And think the age difference of where he is now from 99. Hmm. Speaking of Vince, I will say it. Current day Vince looked good on the Yokozuna video. On that Yokozuna WWE Network special, if you checked it out.
And I think, you save him for special occasions. Oh, geez. Get that one shot in at Hunter. Yeah, save him for special occasions. Don't trot, Vince not being trotted out every month is a good thing. Have a reason. If Vince is there, have a reason for him to be there. And actually, I like, having less Stephanie and Shane McMahon has been good, too.
I think that's been one of the... I agree with that wholeheartedly, Pat.
Oh, so a sleeper hold. Well, that was a little awkward, but they got there.
Yeah. Referee Tim White doing a much better job than Billy Gunn.
Right. And China's tough and she's a trained wrestler, but the idea of her being on the same level as these guys was kind of rough for people to buy into. Because decades of tradition against it, one, and that's a big one. And
Pat, that's what to me killed the SummerSlam 99 build, which is China.
I'm not, I'm like, do I have to buy that she can, I can buy that maybe she can beat some of the undercard guys, but you're putting her in there and you're expecting her to be in the ring as some sort of a credible opponent for guys, a credible opponent for Triple H. I mean, okay, Hunter will sell for her. He's not stupid. Credible opponent for Austin and Rock. No.
Not so much. Exactly. Yeah. Maybe for Blue Meanie. Gold Dust.
Yeah. But I mean, that shouldn't be what she's doing. The heat is, the heat is she can do all these stuff, these guys, but she's a girl, so you can't hit her back.
Exactly.
And I know that. And yes, it sounds old fashioned because it's,
But you just said it, Pat. It goes back to, though, that's a lot of booking by Vince Russo.
Yeah, I mean, it's old fashioned. Oh. I mean, but this isn't Chikara. This isn't GCW with the history of men versus women matches.
Oh. Crowd is definitely very, it looks very fired up. The crowd is.
Yeah, this is the first match that feels like, okay, we're paying attention right now.
Totally. This is the first match that feels like you're a month away from WrestleMania.
Yeah, there's stakes. There's actual stakes here. And the corporation's involved, I think, which also helps. Oh, there we go. King getting involved. Yeah. Okay, so Kane, and there we go. So we've got Kane brawling with Triple H, and now we're going to get China and X-Pac. And there we go. Bronco Buster's coming. And one night in China, blah, 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 blah. Okay. There we go. Oh, and Shane McMahon from behind. And Waltman no-sells it. I love that part. I don't have to buy. I don't have to buy Shane McMahon going 50-50 with, you know. And if I mean, you know, I don't have to buy Shane McMahon going 50-50 with X-Pac in 99. There we go, and Triple H is back. And now Triple H and China finally one-on-one. Oh, yes. All right. Here we go. Yeah, you remember, you forget how mobile, you know, Triple H was back then. Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Kane with a save. There we go. All right. Yeah, I'm surprised. I kind of remember that the Kane and China pairing was, you know, at least interesting. Yeah, and China pins Triple H. Okay,
that's what you get. Get us right to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Kane not very supportive of Tim White.
Nope. They got sort of, you know, protective husband, nagging wife here going on with Kane and China.
Exactly.
All right, honey, let's go.
And Waltman is still chasing Shane McMahon backstage.
Right. I mean, I like it better than, you know, okay, let's have Shane McMahon go 50-50 with AJ Styles. And that, geez.
No, exactly.
Okay, yeah. All right, and here we are. The big finish. Hey. Yeah. All right, China's your winner. Kane is the big monster of the corporation, at least for now. Okay, and yeah, we're gonna. Okay, yeah, the big stuff is coming up here.
A Waller for mayor.
That's right.
Was this the run? Was it November? Because this is coming right off of Jesse, so.
And it's just third, yes.
Right. Lawler was on the ballot, wasn't it, that November 99 election?
Yes, he was.
Wow. All
right. It's the last man standing coming up. That's going to be next week. Oh, the ambulance is ready. Two ambulances are ready.
The way these two guys go at it, you're going to be ready. They need those ambulances on call.
Right. Okay.
A young Michael Cole.
Yeah, and Michael Cole.
And I heard Sean Radican say it last week. To think that we've been watching Michael Cole this long, Pat.
I think we're going to have to pause it here. I think it's only fair because we're at, 1 hour, 44 minutes, and 12 seconds. It's a little bit long, but I think it sets everything up beautifully for the two main events that we have to deal with, which are going to be the last man standing match, Mankind defending against The Rock. And you have, of course, the cage match of Steve Austin and Vince McMahon. And that's about as good as it gets. And yeah.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
For over 10 years, Shane Hurricane Helms has been a pioneer in the podcast game. And now, the Creative Control Network proudly brings to you the record-breaking, history-making, longest-reigning, most entertaining cruiserweight champion of all time, Shane Hurricane Helms and the Highway to Helms podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your favorite podcast may be, you'll find me, Shane Hurricane Helms. And if you don't know, Google me, biatch!
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
And I will point out, that, Pat, you summed it up. Those are the two matches that define the winter, this winter of 99.
Yep, and yeah, and I mean, this show up against the WCW Super Brawl, it just pushed, you know, it pushed WWF farther ahead. And if you'd like to know more about Ken Shamrock and Val Venus, and Billy Gunn and Ryan Shamrock, and yes, about Tim White, then you can go visit PWTorch.com, F4WOnline.com, The Wrestling Observer, or check out your local library app because they're all in books. Scott, please tell me you know what the line is.
Oh, I should. Same way back time?
Yep. And?
Same way back channel.
Same way back time, same playback channel. All right, I'm on Twitter, Real Pat McNeil. Jim Bally is at Jim Bally. Wave hi to him. Scott is at Scott Passner.
I think that is right, Pat.
I certainly hope so. Of course, you can leave us a 5, 6, or 7-star review on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever your pods are cast. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast. And you know what happens next week, Scott? We got to come up. It's voting time. We got to figure out what we're gonna see next. And you know, we've had that Magic Nitro. We've had the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Tomorrow we got more new episodes of Superstars coming up. I mean, you know, something's going to happen. We need to figure out what we're doing as we head towards WrestleMania season in 2021.
Well, Pat, I'll tell you this. I have enjoyed the late last month's drop of those wrestling challenges from late 86. I think you had one on the poll at 2 weeks ago, or the most recent poll, but those have been a fun drop as well, Pat.
That's true, and we'll get into 94 on Wrestling Superstars for the first time. So people who are starting on the network, you can actually watch Raw and watch, you know, the start of Raw from 93, and you get Superstars that same week. You know, you're going to get more and more of the flavor of what was going on in professional wrestling, which is, I guess, what you'd hope for. Plus, you know, we're coming up on a month where all of this is going to move over to Peacock, and you're either going to pay your $10 and get, you know, and still get your network plus all the Peacock stuff, all the Peacock premium stuff, or you're going to pay $4.99 for the network that you're getting the network for half what you're paying for it now. One way or the other,
I want no commercials, so I think I got to go the Peacock option.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I have no problem with that. There's a lot of stuff on there. All right, all that excitement is still to come. Everybody, enjoy your Valentine's Day. Enjoy your takeover if that's what you're into. But we do have somebody lined up next week to help out if Jim is not ready to cover the full show. And by all means, support us. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback, as little as $4.50 a month, and you're there with us. So until then, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.